Last weekend, we kicked off a series called Compassion at Christmas, and we talked about how one of the defining characteristics when you really examine the life of Jesus was compassion. And Christmas is this time that just fuels compassion in us, primarily because we're celebrating Jesus. So we started asking this question, you know, what's something we could do this Christmas to unleash some compassion on our world? And if you were not here last weekend, do yourself a favor. I'd encourage you to go watch the message. You missed a really special weekend at CCV. We got to watch, really, to get a front row seat, actually, to a movement of God in our church. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but if you weren't here, I just want to catch you up to speed, and then for some of us, just kind of give us a refresher on what we talked about last week. Last week, we were confronted, and some of us reminded, of a statistic that's huge, that worldwide there are 600 million children living in extreme poverty. And extreme poverty is different than just normal poverty, what we get to see around us, you know, kind of in our cities and neighborhoods. Extreme poverty is children living on less than $2 a day, something most of us can't fathom because there really are no children in America living on less than $2 a day. That's what most experts tell us. But because there's so many kids like this worldwide, this next statistic, well, it should break your heart. It's that every day, 18,000 children die from poverty or poverty-related issues. In other words, every 24 hours, 18,000 children literally die because all they needed was some basic food or some shelter or some medical needs addressed. Now, what happens to all of us when you see statistics that are this big and this horrific, and this happens to most people, psychologists have termed a phrase called psychic numbing. What happens is the numbers are so big, we're just one person, we're just one family, we're just one church. So here's what happens. We say, well, what can I do? I mean, they're just too big. And so what happens is we become numb or we become paralyzed where we do nothing at all. Now, I'll be a little transparent. I think I'm as guilty as anyone on this. You know, part of my wiring, I'm a leader who's pretty visionary. So I like to see things move forward. I like to see progress. I like to see action. So as a leader, when I don't feel like I can move the needle on a really big issue, there's times that I just kind of, you know, step back and don't engage. I think this happens to a lot of us, especially those of us that are men. I was having this conversation with my daughter a few weeks ago, and she said, Daddy, I just don't understand boys. And I, in my mind, I thought, you probably never will, you know, but I didn't say that. But I began to explain to her something that I think is a wiring in a lot of us guys. I said, honey, you have to understand something about a lot of guys. If he can't win, he doesn't want to play. It's true. For a lot of us guys, if we can't win, we don't want to play. And this plays out in a lot of areas in our life, right? But it's not just guys. This happens to all of us, ladies included, especially when you see how big something like this is, you know, worldwide, extreme child poverty, kids dying all over the world. I mean, it's like we're thinking like, as a church, we can't solve child poverty worldwide, and we can't. But we asked this question last week. What if we could in one country in our world? What if we could literally transform an entire country? And that was the vision we laid out last week called Compassion at Christmas in the country of Colombia. A country we talked about last week has just been riddled with extreme poverty, especially horrific with kids. Now, let me just kind of remind you of our three-tiered approach we said to transform the country of Colombia. We kind of laid it out this way. We said there's three things that we have to do to really make a difference. And it started here. Number one, we said, hey, we are going to attempt to sponsor every available child living in extreme poverty that Compassion International has in Colombia. And if you weren't familiar with Compassion International, we let you know a little bit about them last weekend. They're a worldwide relief organization whose mission is releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. And they work in Colombia, and their model is for $38 a month, you can literally sponsor a child who has nothing and try to lift them out of extreme poverty. It's an amazing model that actually works. So we said, we want to try to do this, but we said, we don't just want to meet their physical needs. we have to meet their spiritual needs as well. So it got bigger. We said we're also going to plant 8 churches in Colombia so that every single sponsored child has the opportunity to follow Jesus. And we said these churches will be in walking distance of every single sponsored child that we take on. And then we said it gets even better. We are also going to allow you to go there yourself. If you sponsor a child, we said we're going to provide mission trip opportunities next year, and we have 8 mission trips on the books, more mission trips than we've ever taken to any location in a year. So we have 8 mission trips to Colombia where if you sponsor a child, you can actually go and meet the child you sponsor and see the church that you helped them plant. Now, we had such an overwhelming response that our missions team this week is scheduling more mission trips next year, and there'll be trips even beyond that. Now, when you look at this, this is a big vision. Now, last weekend, we specifically focused on this aspect of the vision. And we told you that we went to Compassion and we said, how many children do you have living in extreme poverty in Colombia? And the answer was, we have just over 10,000 kids. And we said, we want every single one of them. And Compassion said, no. You don't understand. We've been doing this for 65 years. No church in our 65-year history has ever attempted to sponsor that many kids. The most any church has ever sponsored is 6,500 in one weekend. And we had to explain back to them, we're not any kind of church. We are a go big or go home, lay it all on the line, generous church. That's how we've always been. And so we asked them to give us every single child. And if you came last weekend, hanging in every single auditorium across all of our CCV campuses was every child they had in Colombia living in extreme poverty. And CCV, before the last service was over, you sponsored every single one of those kids. Incredible. One of my favorite pictures from this last week. I love it when you share pictures on social media and you respond. And I got to see a lot of people and talk to a lot of people. And there were some amazing stories, you know, that people had. But one of my favorite pictures was if you went to Compassion International's website this week and typed in and said, I would like to sponsor a child. And you can choose the drop-down, what country. And you chose Colombia. This is the picture that came up. We are sorry. We currently have no children available in Colombia. There's none. It's incredible. But it's even better. You see, you sponsored every single child before most campuses had had their last service. So we had to scramble. We got with Compassion and said, we're completely out of kids to sponsor. There's more people coming. And so Compassion said, we worked with them and we said, if people still want to sponsor, is there a way they can still sign up? So we provided a way for those last services in this past week, and you can still do it today, to still sign up and say, I still want to sponsor a child. And so Compassion went to work last week on the ground in Colombia, literally working around the clock, finding more children living in extreme poverty. So more people signed up to sponsor than were even available through Compassion. And so do you want to know the total number of kids that you as a church sponsored through Compassion? You ready to hear the number? Here it is. 11,011 children. That's what you did. Yeah, incredible. So, if you would still like to sponsor a child, Compassion has told us this. You can go to our website or through our app and you can say, I'd still like to sponsor a child. You can sign up. And as soon as a child's available, Compassion says they will contact you immediately. Many people that signed up last weekend when we were out at Children, they got contacted this week. So Compassion's, I mean, they are moving on this quickly. So if you would still like to sponsor a child, and I would encourage you, don't miss out on the life-changing aspect of this for you and your family. You can still sign up today. Now, here's what I want to just camp out on for a little bit. How did we take on this huge, audacious goal, and then this happened? Have you ever thought about that? It's something I just want to stop on for a moment because I've been meditating on something just all week long, and it comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 20. I want to walk you through this. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, God can do what? Anything. Now, can you do anything? Can I do anything? No. Who can? God. And it gets even better. It says, God can do anything. He can do far more than you could ever imagine. More than you could ever imagine, more you could ever guess, and more than you could ever request in your wildest dreams. So here we are, last weekend, we take on this huge, big, audacious goal. We're gonna sponsor over 10,000 kids. And I think God's looking down in heaven going like this, you think that's big? He exceeded even our wildest imagination. And the reason I wanna point that out is because some of you right now, you're facing something really big in front of you. It's maybe a marriage or a relationship. It's your finances. It's maybe a child that you're not sure they're ever gonna turn around, or it's a work situation. It's so big, here's what you've told God. You haven't said this audibly, but you thought it. This is too big. I don't think this will ever change. And I just wanna remind you what Ephesians says, that God can do anything beyond your wildest imagination. But listen to how we're told God does it. The very next line says this. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit gently and deeply working within us. And that's, if you were here last weekend, that's exactly what we experienced. You experienced God's Spirit working across every room. It was amazing. And I just want to remind you that whatever you're facing in life today, if you would allow God's Spirit to prompt you and you to take steps in the direction God wants you to take, and you would stay strong in that path, God can surprise you in ways that you could never imagine. And when he does, like he did for us last weekend, we're told what our natural response should be. Paul goes on and says this. Here's what you should do. Glory to God in the church. Give all glory to God, not a person, not someone else. All the glory goes to God. So CCV, when we see a number that looks like this, 11,011 kids sponsored, can we just give God all the glory today and thank him for what he did in our church? Thank you. Good job. All right. You can't clap too much, and the reason why is because now every single one of these kids needs a church. Every single one of these kids that we just sponsored needs a local church so they can have an opportunity to follow Jesus, and that's what I want to focus on today. I don't know what my life would be like today if someone had not planted a local church in the community that I grew up in. I grew up in a little small town in Arizona. It was about 1,000 people from birth until about seventh grade. It was called Wilcox, Arizona, a little country town. My church was about 100 people. The kids' ministry was nothing like CCV. There were flannel graphs, you know, musty carpet, and the terrible smells everywhere. You know, that's what's church. But it was at that church that I found Jesus. It was at that church I began to grow in my faith, and it was at that church that seeds of leadership were planted in my life. I don't believe I would be in front of you today without that local church in my life. And some of you have a similar story. You don't know what your life would be like. Some of you would say, I don't know what my life would be like without CCV. It's transformed my marriage and my kids, and I found Jesus here. I was baptized here. I was a long ways away from God, and I came back to God because of this church. I don't even know what it would be like if 35 years ago a man named Don Wilson had not planted a local church that's now transforming thousands of people's lives in our midst. See, what we have to remember and understand is that all throughout Scripture, the local church is God's plan for spreading Jesus to our world. It's plan A, and there is no plan B, C, or D. It was, the local church was God's plan to transform people. And that's why, by the way, at CCV, we are crazy passionate about continuing to launch new CCV campuses across our city so every person in Phoenix has a chance to learn about and hear about and follow Jesus. And you never know when we may announce our next CCV campus. Do you want to know where it's at? I can't tell you yet. But I will really soon, very soon. But this is also why we're so passionate about when we're going to sponsor all these children, we have to be able to provide them a local church that's within walking distance, that puts the local church at the center of that child's life. Now, what's amazing, and what we talked about last weekend, is that these local churches will also house the child development centers through Compassion, where children will get nourishing food, they'll get educational needs met, and they'll have medical needs met so these kids don't end up being one of those 18,000 that die every single day from poverty. But we don't want to just meet their physical needs. Remember, we want to meet their spiritual needs. And it's a holistic approach that is the best approach for a child. Did you know that's how Jesus grew as well? It was his approach. Let me just show you a verse about Jesus' childhood. There are very few verses in the Bible that speak about Jesus' childhood, but this is one of them. It's in Luke 2:52. It says, Jesus, when he was a child, this is how Jesus grew. Listen to this. He grew in wisdom. He grew intellectually. He grew in stature. He grew physically as a child. And then it says this. He grew in favor with God and man. This word favor is the word grace. He grew spiritually in the eyes of everyone around him. At the age of 12, he's preaching in the synagogues. And people are like, whoa, who's this kid? So Jesus grew these three ways. He grew intellectually, physically, and spiritually. And that's what every single child needs. Now, last weekend, I introduced you to this young girl named Danacy. Okay, Danacy's one of the three kids that we sponsored as a family. And this little girl's changed our life. But when we got to visit her on the ground in Colombia, and we went to her church and her child development center, we got to see her developing these three ways. I'm going to show you a few pictures. We got to see Danacy in her class learning and growing intellectually and educationally, and all the kids are. I mean, it's amazing to see what happens. And then we got to see her growing physically. It's so neat to see kids actually get nourishing food. And when you see a child whose face is receiving nourishing food that they need, it's lit up. Now, here's a side note, okay? Because when I was in Colombia, I sat down. I had a lot of meals. One day I sat down, and I was having the traditional Colombian dish, they told me. And so it had rice and beans and some meat, and there were two sausages. And I was like, well, this is pretty good. I was eating. There was a red sausage and a black sausage, and I cut the red sausage off and had it. And I thought, well, this is pretty good. I'm going to try the black sausage. So I took a bite of the black sausage. The worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. I wanted to spit it out, and then I wanted to be rude, so I just swallowed it really quickly. And I was like, that was disgusting. I talked to the guy afterwards. I said, what was the black sausage? And he goes, well, that was a blood sausage. Has anyone had a blood sausage? I'm just warning you, when you go to Colombia, the blood sausage is no bueno, okay? Do not eat it. Right? But I love just seeing these kids just get food. And then I saw Danacy grow physically, or spiritually. I saw her just worshiping with other kids. And in every classroom, there's, you know, pictures of Jesus and Bible verses. One of the first letters we got back from Danacy, she shared with us her favorite verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13. It's all about love. Every sponsored child actually gets a Bible as well. It's an amazing, holistic model that helps a child grow. And it's this model that makes a difference. Let me show you just a few things. Did you know 85% of those who make a decision to follow Jesus do so between the ages of 4 and 14. It's why kids matter. It's why we have to pour into them spiritually. It's why at CCV, we are so dedicated to having one of the best kids ministry in the country. And if you've never taken your kids there, trust me, they are missing out. But this statistic got me really excited. Compassion has shown that each child sponsored can reach, on average, 30 people in their community. Why? Because when you begin to meet a child's physical needs, people in the community start to take notice, and a child has a reach and a family, and then they have a local church they can bring those people to. So think about this, what this means for us. We just sponsored over 11,000 children who have a reach of 30 people each. That's over 330,000 people. Every single one of those families needs a local church to hear about Jesus. And that's the opportunity in front of us. But it's not just these kids' reach in the community. It's also what the sponsorship does for these children. Let me show you a few things. For those of you that sponsor kids, every sponsored child is 30 to 40% more likely to finish high school. They're 50% more likely to graduate college. And this one got me really excited. They're 40% more likely to become leaders in their church. I saw this firsthand when I visited Danacy. I was visiting her, and I met this guy named Samuel. Samuel began to explain to us, and he was just talking to us. He said, when I was a child, I got sponsored. Someone just like you raised their hand, pulled his packet off a wall somewhere, and said, I'll sponsor Samuel. And he was sponsored all throughout, you know, his childhood, and he finished high school, and then he went to college. And do you know what Samuel's doing now? He's a leader in the church and child development center where Danacy's at today. You never know when you sponsor a child what God will do in the life of that child. But we have to meet their physical and spiritual needs. And did you know that was really the model of Jesus? It's how he did ministry. I would challenge you this week to go read one chapter in the Bible, Matthew chapter 9. It's just loaded with so many things. Let me just summarize it for you really quick. Here's what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. He heals a bleeding woman. He restores a young girl to life. He heals two blind men. And then he heals a man who is not able to speak, all in one chapter. He's meeting physical needs. But then at the end of the chapter, listen to what Jesus says about what we need to do to meet spiritual needs. Here's what it says at the end of chapter 9. I love how the Message translation puts it. Then Jesus made a circuit through all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies. But then he says this. When he looked out over the crowds, when he saw all these people, his heart broke. This is the same word where we get the word he had compassion. Why did his heart break? Was it because there were a bunch of people that were hungry or hurting or had physical needs? Actually, no. Let me tell you why Jesus' heart broke. It says this. There were so many people that were confused and aimless. They were sheep without a shepherd. What is he saying? Here's what Jesus is saying. When I look out over the crowds, there are so many people searching for purpose in life outside of me. They're chasing after what people still today chase after, career and money and sex and power or something else that they think is going to bring significance in their life. And Jesus, it just breaks his heart because he says, what many of us have learned, that until you put Jesus at the center of your life, you will walk around life confused and aimless. And by the way, if you're here today and you've never decided to follow Jesus, you will find yourself in the same position at some point. And it breaks Jesus' heart. So he says, they're sheep without a shepherd. What does that mean? Jesus is saying, who are going to be the spiritual leaders that are going to show these people who I am? Because he looked at the current environment and all the religious leaders at that time, the churches at that time, and the synagogues were full of corrupt religious leaders that were only in it for themselves. And this broke Jesus' heart. He's like, well, who's going to lead these people spiritually? And so he looks at all of his disciples and listen to what he says. What a huge harvest. There are so many people that need to hear about and learn about me. Who's going to do it? And CCV, we have the same thing that Jesus is telling us right now. 11,000 children, a reach of up to 330,000 people. That is a huge harvest. Who's going to lead those people spiritually? And so Jesus goes on and says this. How few workers. There's so few spiritual leaders to lead these people. Get on your knees, and we need to pray that that will happen. CCV, we don't have to pray. We've been praying, and God has answered our prayer right now through a partnership with Compassion and Stadia. We have 8 church planters ready to go right now in Colombia, and 8 church locations that are ready to plant those churches. And the only thing left for us to do is make it a reality. Now, here's what that means for us. Every one of these church plants will cost $87,000. So collectively, the 8 churches will cost about $700,000. Now, if that number seems big to you, don't forget, we have a big God. And I believe, just like last week, our church responded, I believe that God together, we can fund these church plants. Now listen, every single dollar given to these church plants, 100% of it will go to the churches. There's no processing fee. There's no cut that anybody takes. CCV doesn't take. They all go to the church plants. And if we raise more than the $700,000, we will do what we've always done, continue to plant churches locally and internationally. But we have 8 church planters right now ready to go. I want you to see some footage of your campus pastor or a representative from your campus who's on the ground in Colombia meeting with the church planter and at location where one of the churches we're going to plant is at. Watch this.
Hey, CCV. We are in some exciting times as we have a great opportunity before us to be a part of God's work in Colombia. Today, I'm standing in the location where our campus, Peoria Campus, has an opportunity to plant a brand new church here in Sevilla, Colombia. We believe that in this location, thousands of people are going to have the opportunity to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ for the very first time. Earlier today, I had the opportunity to meet the pastor of this new church that we're going to be able to plant, Pastor Rafael. I want you to be able to hear some of his excitement about this partnership we're going to have with him and his church. Pastor Rafael, why plant a church in Sevilla?
La razón de plantar una iglesia en Sevilla es por la necesidad que hay del evangelio transformador, porque hay mucha pobreza espiritual y hay mucha pobreza y mucha necesidad en las comunidades, mucho desatención en la niñez, descuido en la niñez, y pensamos que Dios nos trajo aquí con ese propósito de ser instrumentos para que esta población sea transformada por el poder del evangelio, cumpliendo el mandato de Jesús, ¿cierto?, de ir y predicar el evangelio a toda criatura.
How can we pray for you?
Pidiéndole al Señor que nos provea para construir las aulas donde vamos a atender esa niñez necesitada, que muy pronto tengamos construido para que ellos puedan disfrutar de ese lugar y los podamos atender como ellos se merecen.
Thank you so much. We are certainly very excited to partner with you and looking forward to what God is going to do through your church here in Sevilla.
Nosotros también estamos gozosos, alegres, agradecidos con Dios primeramente, con este apoyo que viene de parte de la iglesia CCB en cabeza de nuestro guerrero David, que Dios lo va a usar tremendamente y esperamos que le podamos corresponder porque este es un proyecto de Dios.
Thank you so much in advance for your partnership in this project. I'm very excited to see what God is going to do through our campus and through this new church plant in Sevilla.
Yeah. I love seeing the images of Colombia. It puts things in perspective. It's been said that a picture is worth 1,000 words. 8 years ago, Jamie and I were in, my wife and I were in Washington, D.C. We were walking around different museums, walking in, and we stumbled upon one museum we didn't plan on going into. It was the National Geographic Museum, and inside was an exhibit that was the 100 most influential pictures that have ever been taken in our world. And we walked this exhibit. It was actually pretty inspiring. There were so many pictures. There were pictures like Neil Armstrong taking the first steps on the moon. There was this famous picture of Muhammad Ali, and then there was this really famous picture of this Chinese man standing in front of the tanks in Tiananmen Square, just begging for democracy. And under each photo was a description of why this photo was so influential, what it did to kind of change our world. But there was one photo that I saw that I got stuck on. I just couldn't move past it. Actually, my wife was like, "We gotta go," and I was like, "Dude, look at this." And I was reading. I'd seen the photo before, and maybe you have as well, but I didn't know the background behind it. Here was the photo. It was this photo that was taken by Kevin Carter. He was in Africa during the time of the 90s when there was this big food crisis. And this is a little girl who's so, just her body's so broken down from starvation that she can't even walk. So she's crawling to an aid station. And in the background is a vulture, because he knows this little girl's about ready to die. This photo, many believe, changed the world's view on child poverty. Many people believe this one photo sparked a movement of people actually saying, this is actually an issue we need to deal with. It sparked such a movement that people worldwide reached out and said this question: what happened to the little girl? I mean, what happened to her? So people tracked down Kevin, and they asked this question, and they were tracked down people that were with Kevin, and the story began to emerge about what happened when Kevin took this photo. See, what came out was Kevin actually sat there for 20 minutes waiting to take this photo. And the reason he waited 20 minutes is he was hoping this vulture would spread its wings out, because he thought that would be a more powerful picture. But after 20 minutes, the vulture never spread its wings. It was just waiting for this young child to die. And so Kevin, being so numb to the child poverty and death he'd seen everywhere and being told, like, hey, don't engage. They might have diseases. They might have issues. Kevin took the photo, and he just left. And it broke people's hearts. It reminded me of this quote by Albert Einstein. Here's what he said. The world is not a dangerous place. The world is a dangerous place not because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do what? Do nothing. CCV, I cannot tell you how proud I am to be a part of a church that will not look at the issues around us and sit back and do nothing. Last weekend, I saw a church on mission. I saw a church unleashing unprecedented amounts of compassion on the world around us, and especially this issue of extreme child poverty. And man, it just motivates me to see what God wants to do in our church. Last weekend, we sponsored every available child living in extreme poverty through Compassion International in Colombia. And this weekend, we have the opportunity to not drop the ball in giving every one of those kids a local church. So the takeaway today is pretty simple. I just want to ask you to pray about how you can help fund these 8 church plants in Colombia. Now listen, I know every one of us walks in a different financial situation today. So I'm not asking for a specific amount that you give. I'm just asking that you would pray. And I know some of you might be able to only give $5, some of you $50. Some of us can give $500, some of us can give $5,000, some of us could drop a check for $50,000 and not even blink. There was a family in our church that actually gave a gift that will fund one of the church plants. It inspires me. But listen very carefully. The amount does not matter. What matters to me is that you give out of a pure heart. Do not give because of guilt. Don't give because you saw a picture. Don't give because you want some sort of recognition. I just want you to give the way Ephesians tells us, that you would just give the way God prompts you through his Holy Spirit. And here's my goal for our church. I want 100% participation. That you would just give something, whatever that looks like for you. And here's the reason why I ask that. Because when you see what God does through these church plants in Colombia, I want every single person here to be able to say this. I had a small part in making that happen. So would you just ask God to prompt you? Now, if you can't give anything, it doesn't change your salvation, and you're not going to hell, okay? You're not. Now, if you don't give anything and you're a Seahawks fan, I can make no guarantees as a pastor. I can't. But CCV, listen. All joking aside, God has put in front of us this incredible, incredible vision. We sponsored every available child last week. I believe together God will prompt our church. We will be able to fund every church plant. But it's going to take every single one of us just listening to God's prompting in our life, whatever that means for you. I am so honored to be able to pastor and help lead a church that thinks big, dreams big, and risks in a bold way so that every person around us in our city, and now as we look out in this country, the country of Colombia, can hear about Jesus. So I'm just going to pray that God moves you the way he wants to move you. And then right after I pray, I want you to hear from your campus pastor about how you can contribute to these church plants. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for a church that will not stand by and do nothing. God, when we're confronted with something in front of us, a vision as big as trying to transform an entire country, the country of Colombia, what we saw last weekend was a movement, was your spirit working across our church. We literally got to see you move in a powerful way, and we're thankful for that. We give you all the glory for that. And today, as you just prompt us to make sure that every single one of these little children that you love has a chance to hear about you, would you give us, each of us today, with our families, and even with our kids, God, give us boldness to think about how we could sacrifice this Christmas. As we think about everything you've given us, may we think about how we can sacrifice so that these kids can hear about you. The name of Jesus changes lives, and we want to change a country. So continue to move in our church the way you do, God. We give you this whole weekend. We give you this vision, and we pray that you would move in Jesus' name. Amen.